Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
In this month of February, Streaming Things is brought to you by Chester Copperpot, David Malfara, Rabid Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Thomas Alexander,
Aaron Layton,
Emmy, Valerie, Stanton Valentino, Crystal Trujillo, John Collins, Ghost, Andrew Gray, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richardson, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Casey McCain, and the one and only Enza.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, continuing our coverage of The Last of Us, this time episode 8, the penultimate episode of the very first season of this show. We've just finished watching it. If you've never listened to the show before, that's what we do. We don't watch the interviews with Craig Mazin and
Neil Druckmann.
Naughty Dog himself, any of that. We don't watch
the Naughty Dog,
the titular dog of naughtiness. We don't watch the next time on Last of Us trailer for the next episode, any of that. We just come straight to the microphones. And
you're getting a raw, unfiltered opinion
straight to the mic,
top off the dome, into the mic.
Raw and wriggling.
Yeah, we're giving you the meat. We're giving it to you raw.
Smeagol.
Is the meat venison? We'll never tell.
So thank you for joining us. If you're new here, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about our overall thoughts on the episode, go around the table, and then we'll go a play-by-play, scene-by-scene recap of what we just witnessed and follow it up with a segment we call our Fireflies, our favorite three moments of the episode going around the table. And then we'll talk about some bullets and pills.
Pills, baby!
Which are Easter eggs that we've discovered. References to the game that are hidden amongst the episode, sometimes rather overt, for people to enjoy. And then finally, our outbreak performance, the favorite performance for each of us of the episode. That's the way we do things. We also, from time to time, read emails on the show. So if you have one of those, some thoughts you'd like to share with us, you can write into streamingthingspod@gmail.com. If you want to financially support the show, we would love that. You can go to patreon.com/streamingthings. Well, you like money too?
I like money.
Let's go get some lattes. And you can subscribe to the show at a variety of tiers and get different bonuses and rewards, including joining our Discord community that is run by a couple of wonderful patrons.
Absolutely.
That are patrons. Brilliant, hardworking, and way smarter than us and are able to manage that community while do this.
A lot of them are doctors, so I'm sure they have things to say about some things that happened in this episode.
Yes.
But if you join the Discord, guys, this Friday, I'm having a Steve's Fireside Chat. Ooh. Come hang out with me on Discord. We're going to be on video. We're going to be on the mic and you can hang out with me. We can talk about shit.
Yeah, they're very nice. I had no idea what I was doing with Discord, and they walked me through the whole process.
Yeah,
We didn't know either. Yeah. This is the funny part. When we started Discord, we're like, oh, shit, how do we use this? Yeah. Luckily, our early adopters did and are very wise and kind. But if you can't support the show financially, we fully understand that. We would never want you to put yourself in a financially uncomfortable position. You can support the show for free by sharing the show with your friends, telling people about it, rating and reviewing the show on the platform where you're listening to this right now, Spotify, iTunes, wherever it may be. Maybe an old phonograph might be how you listen to this show. I don't know.
You are the most interesting person in the world, if that's you, and I want to talk to you.
Somebody just reading transcript of the show, too. Just
crank that bitch up. They even added their own music.
Yeah. That's what, if you put any podcast on a monogram, that's what it sounds like automatically.
That's right. That's right. So thank you for joining us. However you're joining us, I think that's all the business news. You can follow us on social media. We have a podcast Twitter at StreamThingPod. I've been answering Instagram DMs pretty regularly. You can reach out to me there with all kinds of stuff. You can find that at Movies Are Therapy and Steve at S_May05.
Nailed it.
Fuck yes. Killed it. And Jimmy at Oh My Gad.
Yeah.
Oh My Nailed Gad.
It. Oh, I talk to that guy.
My Gad.
But who the fuck is Jimmy?
That's right.
That's right.
It's the next shirt.
So we just finished. And there's merch in the link tree and probably in the show notes to this episode. There's some really neat. We just got a Sniper Tony shirt dropped
very
today.
Exclusive Sniper Tony shirt. It's Tony time. Get it while it lasts.
Oh boy.
I've been sitting in this attic for 90 years protecting Kansas City and only this shirt on my back. So it's good to finally have another one to add to the old repertoire.
It's Tony time.
It's Tony time.
You know, Ellie would have never been captured had I been watching her back.
She probably would have, because I wouldn't have been able to hit anything, but...
When that man shot that horse, I thought to myself, how many bullets would that have taken old Tony?
Oh, Tony, it might be Tony time to find another field of work. They always said the youngins would come replace you, but I think that day might have come.
I never thought of actually hitting stuff.
Yeah, but it's Tony time to buy the Tony time shirt. If you are so interested, it'll be available for a very limited time, like the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I imagine probably a week after the Last of Us show ends, and then we'll have to come up with some fun Yellow Jackets merch and ad nauseum. Folks, that's Latin for or whatevs. Little known fact.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So let's talk about this episode we just finished watching. Everyone is fucking begging me to stop doing a poor imitation of Steve's poor imitation of Tony.
What are you talking about? Tony enters the room.
Yeah, Tony is here.
He's here.
Can we?
He's sitting up there.
Jimmy, you start us off if you're so inclined. What are your thoughts on episode 8?
I'm kind of indifferent. I mean, the show had everything. It had religious, cannibalistic, father-obsessed cannibals, right? Mm.
Cannibalistic cannibals.
Had soup. Everybody likes soup.
Good soup.
Horses, caked up horses, I might add. Mm. But there were a lot of things I felt like they could have done. Major, like a big part in the game that they took out. It just seemed pretty slow. I understand what they were doing, but I don't know. I don't think I didn't like it, but I don't think it was like my favorite show this season.
Okay. Steve, lay it on me.
I'm going to have to
get it off me.
Get it off me. I'm going to have to agree with Jimmy here a little bit. I had a lot of expectations for this episode specifically, just because I find that this section in the game is the darkest section, because you're dealing with cannibals, and David in the game is a creepy ass character.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think he's way creepier and sleazier in the game. On one hand, I really, really, really like the added backstory that they've given David, and they've kind of made him less of a cartoon villain and gave him a little bit of depth, to the point where I was questioning, like, wait, are they cannibals? Oh, okay, they are. Okay, cool. Okay, I'm glad they're doing that. Wait, is David a pedophile? Or are they not doing the pedophile thing? Oh, okay, yeah, he's a pedophile. Cool. Only time I'll ever say that in my life.
Did not mean to come out the way it did.
But yeah, But on one hand, I like that they humanized him a bit and gave him that backstory of like being religious and being this like kind of faux preacher cult leader type thing. Because in the game, it's not really well established why people are leading him. And this makes a lot more sense and it adds a little bit more depth to him. But on the other hand, I feel like the ending specifically, like the last 10 or 15 minutes of this episode, kind of falls flat. And there's a lot of... Chris is so mad. He's crying. He's got tears in his eyes. the last few minutes fall a little bit flat. They just doesn't, like, the big moments that happen don't hit in a way that I feel like they should. And that's because of some minor performance issues. That's because of some minor set issues. That also is just some, I don't feel like they really establish a good reason for why people are where they are and where people aren't where they are at the end of the episode. And it just kind of is like, oh, okay. And then it does the classic, we don't know how to end this, fade to black.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times if things fade to black, that's usually a sign of like, we didn't have a good period for this script. So it's fade. Yeah. We do it all the time on this show. But
they do be fading to black quite a bit.
Yeah. So like, I don't think it's a bad episode per se. This is the first episode, I think, where I've been a little disappointed because I did have high expectations and it didn't quite meet them.
I agree with both of you guys. I think we just got an email. It was like, is this the greatest episode of television ever made, potentially? And is this at least the best of the season?
This episode?
Yes.
So we just got that email.
Yes. Right as they finished the episode, they sent that in.
Can we read that email? Maybe at the end we can read it for a different point of view.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's do that.
Absolutely. I say that to say, I'm sorry to disappoint you because I'm sure that you're listening. And this was by a mile the most disappointed that I've ever been watching this show. And you guys, if you listen to me every week, you know that I've been on a train of, along with Steve and Jimmy, stressing the importance of understanding that this is an adaptation and that the mediums are different and they require different forms of storytelling and different methodologies to get the same story across. I've wholeheartedly supported that all throughout. And I don't want to be that guy, I've had only tinges of disappointment or like a negative surprise ever throughout. I mean, it's been a complete home run for me. Even though I've had high expectations the entire time. So I don't want to say, oh, this time I had, expectations, mm-hmm. but it's true that they were a little higher. But I just think that the way that this section of the game plays out is so much better in the game. Mm-hmm. And
we have that point of view already because we've played the game. So we have that kind of expectation, but you're right. It's paced better. And the moments hit way harder in the game than they do in this.
Like there's a section where the most glaring difference that Jimmy was alluding to, where David and Ellie end up having to fight off a horde of infected together. And it's after they survive that David spills the beans that he knows who she is and that she's with Joel and that they killed one of their party. And that is so much more effective because you've already spent so much time with David. He genuinely seems like a good dude who might be able to help Ellie and Joel. Mm-hmm. And it's such a sinister twist. And he's really kind about announcing it, too. And that makes it even more creepy, like Steve was talking about. And they just kind of blew their load right off the bat. And I know that throughout this season, I'm gonna go. You can edit this out if you want to, Steve. But I just need to vent.
No, vent, maybe.
I feel like throughout this entire season, a lot of people have express their displeasure about the lack of infected in the actual show. And I have been one of the people defending that because it's like, I know what Craig Mazin's doing. There's a lot of things that are cool in the game because it's a video game, but in a show would make it hokey. Like this isn't the fucking Walking Dead. You know what I mean? Like we're trying to tell a story that is inherently human but realistic. You know, he's trying to, at every turn, he's increased the lethality of the zombies themselves, the infected themselves, and lowered the skill set of the characters to make it more realistic and make them less superhuman. Mm-hmm. And that has in turn increased the tension and made it so much more cool when they do show up. It has worked thus far. But in this episode, it's like, why remove that specific element? What is unrealistic about it? You know, it is nothing but really tense and cool and makes the turn of David's character more shocking. I don't see any benefit to removing the scene and the sequence that
At least a little bit. Like, put a couple of them in there. They build the trust.
Yeah, you don't have to have them kill 30 in a bloater. Yeah, exactly.
There's really one benefit, and that is they want to hit a certain number of episodes. They only have a certain amount of time, and they only have a certain amount of budget.
Yeah.
And so that's really the only reason why they would, in my mind, they would take that.
Yeah, I mean, if it's bureaucratic that way, that makes me very sad, you know, because you this is almost the climax, you know, and it makes me, I hate to be this guy, it makes me very worried.
Yes.
For the finale, that I definitely want to be a certain way. And I don't think they've built up. This sounds crazy to say, but I don't think they've built up to giving me any faith that they'll do it the way that I want them to do it, as far as like Joel's skill set and their propensity to kind of mitigate a lot of the violence of the games. I'm a little scared.
I'm not super worried about that because, you know, I recently finished the game not too recently. Mm-hmm. And
again, for the listeners that don't know, for the fourth time.
And the lack of the cordyceps infected, that really doesn't bother me too much, because for me the enjoyment of the show is the characters, not so much the cordyceps people. Like, because if you rely on that too much, it does become Walking Dead, and I hate that show. We might have just lost a bunch of people. I don't know how popular Walking Dead is.
First season is pretty good.
Yeah, first season's
good. The first few are really good. I watched it all the way up until seven or so faithfully.
Yeah.
Even season two is pretty good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The first season's one of the greatest seasons of TV ever. It's great.
I agree with you that I think it would have been nice to, I think, I don't know what their whole deal is with how many episodes they needed to do, but we had a two-parter episode with Kansas City earlier in the season, which was great, and I love that. I think this whole storyline with David and them, I think this should have been a two-episode arc, because you could really kind of devote time to exploring that.
Jimmy had been saying
My favorite part of this episode was learning about the community that David and James and all of them are like in. I want to learn more about it. I want to kind of see what kind of person is. Because when they do kind of start revealing these character traits of him, like, oh, they're eating people. Oh, they're, you know, he's a pedophile. Like, those are good reveals, but I feel like they're almost too subtle or sneaky with it. Where it's like, okay, all right, I'm just learning about this. I don't know. It's hard to explain. Where I feel like they could have padded this stuff out to have made some of the things hit harder.
I agree with Chris. I'm pretty terrified at how it's going to end based on what I want to happen.
There are a lot of things that I really liked about this episode, and Steve talked about him a little bit. Jimmy talked about him a little bit. I love what they did with the character of David, as far as his backstory with the town and how he's really smart and has just manipulated these people, because he doesn't even believe, he's not Christian. You know, he just knows that works on people. And so he kind of worships the idea of the cordyceps and then explains it to them as though it's, you know, Christ and all that stuff. And none of that's in the game. That's all great. I love all that stuff. I just felt like I really was disappointed that they left that little bit about Ellie and David together, because that's where David starts to like Ellie, like respect her, like she's so crafty against fighting the infected, all that stuff, right?
Yeah,
and we get tinges of that through this.
Yeah, it's a little kind of, it happens too quickly where he's like, you and I could be together. Think of all the things we can achieve. It's like, you had like a small conversation with
her. Yeah, you're sacrificing all that you've built, your safety, your position here. You're already losing, a lot of people are losing faith in your leadership, and you're going to risk it all because she was spunky and like, you know, held a gun at you for the deer. It doesn't make any sense the way that the show portrayed it, if you start to break it down. But you're right. There's some other issues too. Like at the end, where did all the townspeople go? Some weird editing choices, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to shit on it too much, because there's a lot I did like about it. I was crying and shit at the end, I always am. And
again, I don't think this is a bad episode. It's just, of all the episodes we've seen so far, it is definitely the one that I was most disappointed in based off the source material, but also the one I can see the most holes in.
Mm-hmm.
I thought for sure it was going to be a two-parter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And now we've got 40 minutes to wrap up all of the rest. And while the last chapter of the game plot wise doesn't have much to get through, without spoiling anything, that's all I'll say. There are some big things that need to be done, and we'll see. I've got no reason to really doubt them. It's just, this is the first time I can imagine, because I've been defending this show to hardcore gamers all season, you know, for 8 weeks now.
That's a futile thing. Yeah. You don't want to.
Very true. But let's dive right in.
If you fight with a pig in the mud, you're going to get dirty and they're going to like it.
Right? is this about David? So let's dive right into our recap and maybe we can pull out some specific details of things that we wish we would have changed, but also things that we loved. So the story opens, the episode opens with David, the new character, reading the Bible to his followers in a Todd's Steakhouse. And it's kind of a, you know, the whole fanatical thing again.
When you hear your family.
Is an addition. Yeah. Is that what it said?
No, but it should.
When you're here, you're eating family. And this is kind of a funereal speech. Like we learn that Hannah is the young girl's name. Her dad has recently died and everybody's in mourning. And so he's delivering a sermon based on that. And she asks, can we bury him? There's a long beat where David's kind of trying to think of how to respond. We find out later it's because he wants to eat him. No, we can't bury him. We're going to eat that shit. We're going to bury him in my stomach.
That's good meat.
But he says, no, the ground's too cold. We'll bury him in the spring. And then we cut to James and David talking. James is like his right-hand man, his head henchman. And they're running low on food and maybe a week or two tops to feed everybody in the town, even with rationing it. And David asks, you know, are you doubting me or something like that in a way that James is able to take it to mean the followers? He's like, no, some of them are, but they're good. You know, and he's like, I'm not talking about them. He thinks James's faith in him is wavering. He's like, no, it's not. It's strong as fuck.
Yeah, because James says something about like people see what they want to see. And that's like, ooh, don't be thinking about, don't be thinking for your own self, man.
Yeah, whoa. Using that breaks. Little noodle up there too much.
Not outside the Todd Steakhouse. We're here, man. We're family. Let's talk about it.
And so he
says, this is church. All right, the Todd Steakhouse.
That's all we got. And that's kind of ironic, too.
You don't treat me rare. You don't treat me medium. You treat me well done.
Where else would cannibals...
Nailed it.
Their whole religion's based on the... Where else would cannibals worship but a steakhouse? I love it.
And lo, the filet said unto the prime rib. What cut am I? I don't have anything else.
I was trying to think. I just randomly said a part of
it. T-bone, get over here.
Oh, that's the cross. The T-bone. So,
are we inventing a new religion right
now? Yes. James says that somebody spotted some deer a few miles east, and so they decide that they're going to go hunting, obviously to get some food for the folks. Then we cut to Ellie still tending to Joel, trying desperately to do a medicine upon him.
It's
not working.
Is this the one where she like lifts up his shirt, and she gets like really close to the wound?
Put her fucking nose in.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, still looking pretty bad.
She might have been smelling it. And it might have smelled because it's, you know, it's rotting. Green.
They taught her that. Fedra school.
Yeah.
That's actually a good point. I didn't think of that.
Not smelling good, Joel. Mm. Can't tell, though, because you haven't showered in weeks.
Smells like butt.
And they're eating. She's eating the last of the food and giving some to Joel. Kinda, he passed out. She just kind of leave the bite on his chest. It would have been hilarious if you saw her come back and just the hand from off screen grab it.
It would have been equally hilarious if you saw him kind of look over and just
like when you're lazy watching TV.
Yeah, you don't want to lift your hand, so you're just trying to like tongue it into your mouth.
And then,
what do you think it was? I thought it looked like chicken skin.
I mean, it's got to be like jerky or something. Like dehydrated meat.
It was a McDonald's chicken nuggets.
It's just it looks exactly the same.
Yeah. Szechuan sauce.
Hey, get the sauce. I need to dip it.
She leaves to hunt. She looks over and sees this rifle and says, I'll be right back. And then she sees a rabbit and then she sees a deer, shoots it. She's amazed that she hit it. Holy shit. And then it cuts to David and James out on their hunt. They're at the dead body of the deer because the deer kind of wandered off wounded and then died, you know, 100 yards away or whatever. And they decide to take it quickly before the person who shot it shows up. And just as they go to do that, Ellie says,
drop it.
Reach for the sky. She does her best Woody impersonation.
Yeah, she was lowering her voice, so she sounded more intimidating.
There's a snake in my boot. Oh, shit. It's not relevant.
Stop.
Is that Woody from Toy Story? Gosh, she's a little girl.
They're more like Sid, motherfucker. And she holds him up. She sends James back for penicillin. There's kind of a comedic scene that I really appreciated where he's like, it's not code, James, go get the medicine. Yeah. And you know, if I was in that situation, I would still be confused. Like, so it is code?
Blink so twice. It is code.
Blink twice if you're telling me the truth.
James like does like a big circle and he comes back like a minute later and Dave's like, don't get out of here. I said no code.
Go get the medicine for realsies. Get the medicine, you idiot. So yeah, they try to trade for it. She keeps trying to shut him up. But Dave's got that, what is it, silvery tongue, you know?
He's got that silver tongue.
He's not without charisma and a certain calm demeanor, which is what makes him so menacing in the games as well. Or in the one game. And it's really cool. She takes a moment and empties all the bullets out of both rifles, which I thought was cool, like ejecting the shells while she's talking to him and training the gun on him. And David suggests, hey, it's a 4-mile hike one way, right? It's going to be a little bit. So why don't, that would take what, hours, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. why don't we get shelter, build a fire? And she says, take the deer. So they take the deer along with everything else into a nearby shelter and start a fire.
For a second, I thought that this episode, like, I made a joke about it when we were watching it. I thought the whole episode was going to be shown through this dead deer's eyes. Because before she shoots it, there's a close-up of its eyes. And then when it cuts to the scene, there's a close-up of its dead eyes. I'm like, is the deer our audience point of view?
That's actually my outbreak performance. It's the deer. It's the deer.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be the horse's ass. Yeah. We find out that David was a teacher, is now a preacher.
Because it rhymes.
And luckily, Ellie was able to call the fact that that rhymes and make the joke before I would.
The interplay between the two in the scene is really, really fun.
It is.
Because, you know, he's getting to be, you know, I'm just a nice guy. I used to be a preacher. I found Jesus. And Ellie's like legitimately like asked, like curious about him, but also being kind of a dick. Like, he's like, you can join our group.
Oh, the hunger group?
Oh, you want us to join your hunger club? Cool. I'll pass. Thanks.
And that's how Ellie is anyway. She's always been that way too, Joel.
Yeah.
And the David creep that he is, that's what he likes about her. You know, you got moxie, kid.
You got moxie.
This was 1930. I'd talk like this. I tell you, you got spunk. You
got spunk, see?
You're coming to my hunger club. And so they sit there and shoot the shit for a while. This is where we get all the backstory. He was from a Pittsburgh QZ. The Pittsburgh
that
QZ.
That fell in 17.
That fateful day.
Yep.
And then he picked up the crew along the way, and that's how they ended up where they're at. And we also find out this is where he immediately spills the beans. The beans are out of the bag now that the guy that was killed by Joel in episode 6 is Alec, Hannah's father, a member of his crew. And he knows who she is and that she's only got one friend who must be injured. And she gets very upset immediately. Alarm bells ringing.
Because why does he know this, Chris?
Because I don't know.
Everything happens for a reason.
Oh, yeah. He's got
to be. That's how he knows.
You got to be the girl.
There's a higher power.
There's only two girls I know. And you're the same one. I'm bad at math. I wasn't a math teacher.
One's daddy died. I don't know your situation, but you got a man that could be your daddy. I don't know.
Look, I'm pretty good with girls. I did hit the shit out of the other one. That's not what I meant. Get your mind out of the gutter, Steve. I was going to make a joke about how he punches them and then.
Oh, that's better. You know. Oh, you're just beating her? Cool.
Yeah. So, and then their crew is, James has a gun. He does sneak back. He brought the penicillin, but he also thought it was Navy code. So he's like, I'll just do both just to be safe.
Covers bases.
And he actually did bring the penicillin, though. David says, put your gun down before Ellie even sees him. So he could have allowed James to shoot her there. And he tosses her the penicillin and she leaves the deer and runs away. And James says, are you just going to let her go? We get back to Ellie.
So James, that was an equal trade. All right. We got her deer. She got her penicillin. This is what business is.
He could have left it at that. Fed the peeps. Mm-hmm. But he's got to be a weirdo.
Yeah.
So she gets back to Joel. She shoots him up with the penicillin. None of us here are medical professionals, right? We don't know how to do a medicine.
How do you do a medicine?
I don't know that you just fill that motherfucker up and jab it into the wound.
Directly dead center. Maybe.
I thought it would go in the vein.
Yeah, I love how he has like a U-shaped stitch and she's like, just right on top.
I think it goes in like the muscle. Because like when you get a penicillin shot, they don't go right. They don't go put in the it vein. In your vein. They just put it in your arm.
But that's like in the fucking liver. Yeah. I think it's the liver over there somewhere. Yeah. The liver's in the back, but that's a big ass needle.
She wanted that shit to do the job. So she put it center mass.
I get it. I mean, that's what I would do in that situation.
Yep.
Stick it straight in there.
I mean, she doesn't know. She doesn't. She's not a medical professional.
She doesn't have to do a medicine.
No.
So she's like, hey, I'm just going to shoot it in here.
Joel, and I'm about to do a medicine on you. Yeah.
And then cuddle to keep him warm, which I respect. And we cut back to the town Silver Lake Resort. David and his crew, the town is cooking. There's five cans of sauce left and a mystery meat. And she says, "What's this?" And the man pauses, which is never a good sign.
Definitely not human.
Venison. And we thought, as a group watching this, oh, I guess it might be deer. We don't think it is, but it might be deer because they just got one from Ellie. Mm-hmm. But no, the next scene is them bringing the fresh deer in. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Alarm bells.
Definitely human. I think it's Alec. So they want to kill. Everybody wants Joel dead. They've heard rumors somehow that they had found the girl that was with Joel out there. They're all quietly awaiting.
I imagine when James like ran back to get the penicillin, they're like, "We found the girl."
Oh, that's
because James is a gossipy bitch.
I got tea, everybody.
And the whole walk back, he's like, "Hey, David, I'm real sorry. Did you go gossiping again?" Yeah, I went gossiping again.
I talk hella shit. I can't stop it.
I just got to spill the tea.
This shit was juicier than Hannah's dad's ass. I'm telling you, that gossip I had to spill it. I ate it. I didn't do anything weird. Come on now.
I just ate it. Come on.
Don't make it weird. We're hungry. So they bring the deer back. Everybody's sitting there waiting for justice to be delivered. And Hannah can't control herself, as we alluded to earlier. She's like, "Kill him!" Which is a fair request.
And kill him.
But you interrupted Father David. So he walks over and slaps the holy shit straight out of right out of the chair.
Awful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that was
put some stank like on for sure.
I would not have been shocked if before he did that, he slowly pulled out talcum powder.
That's what I was and covered, baby powder. And
gave her the pimp hand.
Yeah, Jesus.
And he says, "You're not without a father. I'm your daddy." And you interrupted me, essentially, right? And then the mom who watched her daughter get hit like that leaves for off frame for a second. And you think, oh, she can't stomach her daughter being treated this way. She's angry. She stormed out. No, she went to get David the biggest plate of food of everybody in the room.
That's the plate of someone who eats professionally at Golden Corral and knows how to fill up those goddamn bowls. I know
plenty of people that eat at Golden Corral.
It's so wild. And honestly, this scene is so effective because it does a really great job of visually showing the fanatical control that he has over this community. Mm-hmm. And it's all in Hannah's mother tells you everything you need to know about how much crow these people are willing to eat. Metaphorically
speaking. How much Alex they're willing to eat. and it's also effective because like then he starts to lead them in prayer.
He says grace.
Like the bless us with Christ, the living bread. And it's like, oh, the body of Christ, because they're eating bodies. Get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Metaphor.
Indeed. The little crackers, the wafers, the communions.
They don't have the wine, though, which is a bummer.
No. Or they don't. I bet David does. Have
bourbon or something back there. Something. Probably drank all that.
Peanuts.
Peanuts on the floor. Somebody clean these up.
So we cut back to Ellie.
But also, he watches them all like just start chowing down because most of the people don't know that's what they're eating. They all think it legitimately.
9 out of 10 don't know it's human.
And he kind of watches Hannah start eating what is her dad. Mm. And he has kind of like an odd little smirk to him, like, eating her dad.
Hilarious.
And James knows what it is, and you kind of see him hesitate to do it.
Yeah, he's not as happy.
Yeah, there was a few of them that knew that took a second.
Everybody with a beard.
Bite. Yeah.
If you're going to follow me, you want to be one of my disciples, you need to grow that beard.
Mm-hmm. You ever seen Duck Dynasty? That's what we're
That's what we want here.
Yeah.
Not up in here. So she's peering at, we cut back to Ellie, peering again at Joel's wound. It's looking worse, if anything. Let's be real. So she gives him some more. Why the fuck not? Yeah. How long's it been?
Double down.
It's medicine time. No more Tony time. It's medicine time.
Pardon?
Not you, buddy.
All these young kids keep replacing Tony.
Tony couldn't hit that wound with that needle if his life depended on it. Shit. He keeps moving.
I hit myself. Shit.
Oh, well. I probably got something diseased. And then James and David and crew show up, all of Duck Dynasty behind him and their might. And David wants to keep Ellie. And he says, you know, take her alive. And everybody, he's like, hey, man, if you want to be nice, just let her go. But don't bring her back with us.
It's another mouth to feed.
It's a whole nother mouth to feed. And he's like, you just let me do the planning. You're using that noodle again, boy. What'd I tell you about that?
Yeah, James says something like, maybe it's God's will. That
because he said, if we leave her alone, she'll die. Mm-hmm.
And David doesn't like that.
He just like stops and turns, and everybody kind of looks at the ground.
Thought the baby powder was going to come out again.
Yeah. starts shaking. Powdering up the hand. You don't know what we're referring to.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said baby batter. I was gobsmacked. Like, what? I missed a scene.
You didn't see that? That's why I hated this episode. Oh, man.
That's why I loved it.
Baby powder. That's why I called it talcum powder. We don't want any flubs.
Oh, man.
No. But yeah, he looks back at them and everybody's terrified. So they all just kind of look at the ground. I don't know why they're all scared of him. They could easily, you know, all of Duck Dynasty could take David easily.
Hey, man. Cut it out. I'm a teacher.
Yeah. I'm so useful here because I teach. Because like
back
I get,
off, man, I'm a teacher.
I get the ones that are, you know, the whole idea of him using religion to control people is a clever thought, but it's like
the old sky cake dodge.
The inner circle that knows, it's strange, but maybe they know that they're eating humans, but they don't know that he doesn't believe in God.
Oh yeah. I get the impression he's not being forthcoming with his inner circle, with his religious beliefs.
He's only ever told Ellie that he worships the shrooms. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
I can get behind worshiping some shrooms.
But all the rest of his guys look like they worship shrooms
for sure.
Yeah,
damn, man, I love them.
Boomers.
I've seen 17 fish shows. I follow the dead all literally because they're yes. So Ellie gives Joel, she sees everybody's creeping up on her. So she sees, she gives Joel a knife and says, hey,
hey,
I know you're listening. If anybody comes down here, don't let them touch my comics. Number one.
Number one. Number two.
Kill him.
Kill him. Number three, you better use your hands to hold this knife. Don't try to like be lazy and put the knife in your mouth like you did with your food last time. All right. Now it's going to work out for you.
Ellie, where'd that meat go? Yeah. I ate it all. And Joel just goes, and she's like, all right, you got it. And so she takes off to lead them away from Joel. She gets on Callus, who's never been named in the show, but that's his name.
Hey, motherfuckers.
Yeah. Hey, motherfuckers. And shoots two wild shots toward them, sort of like a sniper Tony would have.
Yeah, I was going to say, she definitely
That's
learned.
How you do it.
That's how you do it, girl. This kid has moxie.
She's got potential. You're the next protector of Kansas City. Don't shoot a single goddamn one of them.
She's got that aim with a pistol. I want to see what she can do with a rifle.
She would be a wonder on the Death Star. So she takes a few pot shots and drives off on the horse.
Drives off on the horse. It has one horsepower. No wonder they got her.
And
James does like a, I'm going to go down the alley and get a good shot up.
He's a clever girl. He shoots the horse. Callus goes down hard and Ellie goes down harder. And he's like, got her, which is true. Mm-hmm. He did in fact.
Got him. But they're going to kill her. Like even the other.
Yeah. Duck Dynasty's like, do it.
Yeah. They were real quick about it.
We all got our own guns. We want you to get in trouble, James. Let's be clear about that.
He likes you the best. I feel like you have enough social capital to mess up at this point.
And it's really interesting to look back on it because it's like in that moment, had James been a second faster, you know, their whole community would be safer. David, well, sort of. You still got David to deal with, but David would be alive. All that stuff would have went down differently.
All
right?
Those dudes would be alive.
Yes. David stops them and he basically says, hey, two of you carry this. I don't know if two of them could drag a horse all the way back. That's maybe possible.
I mean, that's going to be a long ass trip.
I don't know how heavy horses are.
Said 4 miles, just two of them.
Yeah, from where they were with Ellie and who knows how far she was. But whatevs.
Whatevs.
That horse is real heavy.
I'm going to carry the girl. You two carry the horse. Hold up.
Wait a minute.
Maybe I carry her.
Nah, the Lord wouldn't want that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Oh, you're right.
And everybody else go door to door looking for the Joel guy.
I do like his, if you guys are so hungry for vengeance, deliver it.
Deliver it. Mm. Like pizza boys. I love pizza. Damn, I'm hungry.
This ain't DiGiorno. It's death.
That's right.
Because they're delivery boys.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, they're delivering justice.
And then they all proceed to go door to door, and we cut to
Ellie. Would you like to hear about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?
Do you have a moment?
Also, we're looking for a crazy man.
That's why Joel's hiding. Oh, yeah. Fuck. Don't answer the door. It takes forever to get those fucking guys to leave. That's hilarious. Stealing that joke tomorrow.
You're welcome.
But Joel hears them creeping, and he stands up for the first time in weeks. Because Ellie told him to. Mm-hmm. It was at her behest. When the guy gets down to the basement, he sees
penicillin was finally kicking in. All right, it takes a day and a half.
That second shot's what did it. Yeah, that'll do it again. He sees the empty mattress with stains on it, and he's like, ugh, and gets real scared, which anyone would.
Yeah.
And creeps around the corner. Joel gets all stabby when his neck. And,
surprise, motherfucker! He just kind of jumps out of a closet or something and just buries that steel in
right
the
like through
neck.
His spine. Like,
yeah,
dude fights with 9 inches of cold hard steel in his spine.
Put up a good fight.
He did look gurgled and thrashed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what can you do at that point?
Joel quickly takes a nap because you got a power nap after that.
I did like that how he started the nap while the guy was still gurgling. He's not going to get up.
I'm going to do
a little disco nap in. We'll be all right.
Got to put your feet up. Wouldn't that what the Marines do?
Yeah.
Sleep with their legs up. 5 minutes, you're good.
That's what allowed him to like take out those other guys. He took that quick little power nap.
Oh my God. He had so much more energy.
Yeah.
After that, the other guys.
It's like, I should have been napping this whole time. Fuck.
Yeah. A little micro nap.
Nothing gives you more energy than killing.
Oh boy. Here I go killing again.
We cut to Ellie. She wakes up in the cell because she had passed out when she fell off the horse. David is sitting on a chair right outside the bars waiting. And she's like, why am I in a cage? And he says, because I'm afraid of you.
I love that.
You're scary and strong.
David's the smartest guy we've run into this whole entire show.
Yeah, he's trying to hype her up, you know, make her feel good. And she says, eat shit. Dick cheese.
Dick cheese.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I always feel like I'm at my best when I'm hanging out with my kids, when I'm being of service to other people, when I'm talking about TV and film. That makes me feel centered and effective, but that's not always possible because I have to be empowered, prepared to take on everything life throws at me, but I get all out of whack and I need help recentering. I do certain things, 12-step groups, group therapy that help me do that, but other people, normies I call them, they have to seek out other forms of help. I think it's important that everybody do that. And it can be kind of a struggle, like to find the time to find a therapist. How do you even go about doing that? You have to deal with insurances and all kinds of societal blocks to that. And it gives your little brain, my little brain, the excuse I need to not seek that help. And so BetterHelp makes it easier to navigate those blockades. Everything's online. You can just do all the research you want with clicks and screens. I don't have personal experience with BetterHelp, but Steve, you do.
I do. I have used BetterHelp for a couple months now, and it actually was a really, really great tool for me to utilize. I was struggling with codependency, and I didn't even know what codependency was until I started talking about it with my therapist. And through working with her, I was able to set up goals and achieve those goals with her guidance and help. And it was very, very beneficial to me, and I'm a much better off place than I was a couple months ago before I started using BetterHelp.
You are, and I can actually see the difference, and I'm glad that you're doing that. And if you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, it's flexible, affordable, and entirely online. You just fill out a brief questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch at any time. If you're feeling like things aren't working out or it could be better, you can just do that for no additional charge whatsoever. So if you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings. And we cut back to more bearded wonders stalking, looking for Joel. Joel knocks them out. And then we cut to him. He's doing his trick. He's doing his Joel thing. You tie him up. You separate him. You slowly torture him. And you get him each to confirm the location and verify that way. But
the one guy is named Timothy, and the other dude fell for a Timothy trap. where he just put Timothy on the ground. He's like, oh, Tim, is that you? Butt of a rifle to my face.
Oh, that's true. Old Timothy trap.
The old Tim trap.
You said everybody falls for it one day, one way or the other.
Listen.
The other guy's name is Marco, right?
And like he was going polo. He was looking for him. But he fell into the Tim trap. We've all been there. Listen, I've done it. You've done it.
Everybody
definitely fallen
in a Tim trap a time or two. But I love
it. I don't even like Tim and I fell for it.
This is a subversion of what we know about Joel and how he does this, because he makes, you know, he stabs the guy right behind the kneecap. And he's like, I'll pop your fucking kneecap off. And I'm like, owie. So eventually he does point where it's at. And then when he gets to the second guy after killing, I believe Marco dies first.
Yeah, right? I think Marco's.
When he gets to Timothy.
Timothy's the Tommy Chong looking dude.
Yeah. Hey, wait, man.
I thought Timothy was.
I think that was Tommy Chong. None of this is cool, man. I'm being real clear about this. I just like shrooms, man.
Try before you deny.
Try before you deny. That's the thing about Argyle, man, is it was really just Tommy Chong the whole time.
Just a young. That's the origin story of Tommy Chong. Yeah. Is Argyle.
Grew up hanging out with Cheech Marin.
Even though, like, Tommy Chong was probably like 50 during the time.
You just got to keep. You got to keep smoking, man.
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah. It's Nate Dogg, I think you just did.
Yeah.
Smoke weed every day. I think somebody says Marco when the first guy's getting tortured.
I think Timothy gets killed first and Marco's
the Chalamet?
I don't know. It could be.
But either way, they're both fucking dead.
Yeah, he's like, I ain't telling you shit, man. And Joel's like, that's okay. I believe that dude. Pipe.
Such a good moment.
In the game, it's pretty cool, too, because it's the same situation, only the guy's like, I'm not telling you nothing, and he just shoots him. He's like, I ain't got time for this shit.
Yeah.
So.
And then, after that, he knows where Ellie is, or at least all I saw him get confirmed is where he's at. Oh, fuck, I did it too early.
No, he points, because the one guy's like, it's...
He says, show me where you're at, where we're at.
It's not a town, it's a resort.
Yeah, Silver Lake.
So he could probably look in that map and be like, oh there's it is. The resort.
I Googled it. Mm-hmm. I didn't even need to hurt you guys. I'm real sorry.
this is before Google Maps, so I did a map quest.
Printed them out.
Yeah,
folded them up in his back pocket.
Yeah. Hope I don't get lost on the way to the resort. And then we cut back to Ellie in the cage. She's trying to escape, and then she sees something off camera that freaks her out. She backs away. David comes in with a plate of food and maybe some hot tea, maybe some lavender or something to calm her down.
Oh, yeah, that'll work.
And it's chamomile.
He looks over. She saw a whole ass ear sitting on the ground. And he's like, oh, man, she saw the ear.
I knew we shouldn't have been playing around with that thing. Because why would one ear be down on the ground where they doing the whole like Pulp Fiction thing, like, you hear anything?
I feel like it's even more sinister. Like, there's so many body parts and they were slopping them into like one of those old bus boy trays, you know, where you put all the dirty dishes, the plastic ones, and then like an ear fell out.
Mm.
You know?
They're definitely not gonna pass the health code.
What if he had tried? They're going to get a D, F plus.
I'm sorry, is this a human ear?
That is not.
And a Taco Bell?
It's violation. Supposed to be above the chicken.
Yeah, it's 6 feet from the sink there. Violation.
So he's like, oh, shit. Well.
This is just deer meat.
This is ear meat.
You thought I said deer. I meant ear. Sorry.
I was always telling the truth.
You wonder where the other ear went. It's in this bowl.
You weren't listening any more than that guy was. Get it? Because it's an ear.
That's what happened to Van Gogh.
He looks down at her food and he says, it's... He looks down at her food and says, it's deer meat. I can tell you that. That's for sure. And she's like, oh, sure. No reason to doubt you now.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And she's like, you're a fucking animal. And he said, I love this line. He said, we all are. That's sort of the point, you know, like we're animals. Like we do what we have to survive. I don't know of any animals that eat each. Now, there's not too many animals even that eat each other though. Are there?
I think it happens more than you'd think.
Probably like hyenas.
Yeah. I was going to say hyenas are probably the only thing that I've ever heard of eating themselves.
There's a lot of animals where like, if it's an animal pairing where the female raises the kids instead of the male fucks off, it's because the males will often eat the babies.
Oh, like lions? No.
Maybe not lions, but there are like a lot of animals that do that. I can't think of them off the top of my head.
Penguins?
It happens more often than you think.
Penguins?
That's why they
march. I'd love to see that documentary.
You better get to marching. Get away from my kids.
All these penguins survived being eaten by their own parents.
Andy Dufresne walked in, looked like a strong wind.
Drink of water.
Blow him over.
My friend Andy Dufresne. Say what to Neo.
Get busy living, or get busy dying.
We're not perfect humans, you know, any more than David.
We're animals.
That's right. Yeah, That's sort of the point. And then he goes on this big speech telling her that she reminds him of him. Like you're, and he says a bunch of shit that is really self-complimentary for no reason. You remind me of me. Super handsome, smart, and got a great carpentry skills. And
got a six pack.
got a huge cock. And she's like, what?
Everyone told you were special growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super good at cooking humans. Give me that vibe. And he says she's got a violent heart. And which he's like, I've always had a violent heart. I love killing. Always have. That's why I became a teacher. And so it's like, you were the worst teacher of all time. We can all agree on that.
He's one of those teachers that was a proponent of what's that? Corporal punishment.
Corporal punishment.
Yeah. Corporal punishment.
Yeah. For sure.
He was hitting kids with rulers.
What did he teach? Creationism? Like he had to be like the worst of all time. And ultimately it comes out that he's not even a Christian. Like he's like, they need God. They need heaven. You and I were smart. You know, I worship fungus.
Cordyceps showed me the truth. Cordyceps is loving. It's nurturing to its own kind, but it'll secure its future with violence if it must.
Yeah. I love the whole metaphor that he uses. And then later he says, when he thinks that he's got Ellie convinced and he starts to grab the cage and put his hand on her hand, he says, we'd grow, spread out. You know, if we were working together, which is more, I think, like fungus metaphor that he's even like unconsciously applied to their conversation.
Yeah, I love how he's like, I'm a shepherd surrounded by sheep.
I need someone to hang out with.
Joel popped in like, what?
Yeah. Did you say sheep?
Yeah, sheep.
That sounds like a dream. I love sheep.
I'm here.
But yeah, David's looking for an equal, you know?
Nobody's beaten me in Mario Kart in 6 years.
They don't know the trick on Rainbow Road.
And so she kind of dupes him into thinking she's being convinced. And when he puts his hand on her, she goes, oh. And then at that point, breaks his finger, which is super satisfying. He slams her head into the bars, pushes her away. And like, you done did it now.
Calls her the C word.
Yeah. You C word, which we're not going to utter here. It's like.
It's cunt. We've said that word many times on here.
That was locked in, ready to go.
It's like the speech from Mordor, and it just hurt my ears like the Gandalf.
The black speech.
Yeah. You're the mouth of Sauron. Mm-hmm. Yo, Ron Burgundy, yo, poop mouth.
Poop mouth.
Why'd you say that? We cut back to Joel wandering in a blizzard looking for Ellie. He finds her backpack. He finds the dead horse, Callus, and he's like, holy shit.
Look at that ass.
That thing is just
Jimmy was quite taken with this horse.
it was a beautiful shot of just the horse's ass.
He made us pause.
it was very nice.
And then he sees three human bodies dangling like they're being bled out.
You know, like the predator butchered. Was in there.
Yeah. One of them was missing a head, right?
I think all three of them were.
Yeah. Yeah, they all were headless. They
been skinned and prepped.
They really lost their heads.
Yeah, they did.
And then everybody comes for Ellie, or at least James and David, to unlock the cage. They grab her. She fights back. She bites David. And then they lay her on the butcher table, the butcher block, and pull up a... What kind of knife is that, Jimmy? A choppy chop knife?
Cleaver?
The cleaver.
Yeah. Pulls up a cleaver.
Choppy chop.
And then says, wait, I'm infected. And they pause. She's like, what are you talking about? Because David had been bitten. She's like, now you are too.
I'm infected.
Roll up my sleeve. I'm not lying. And he sees the bite marks that are well healed by now. And James is given pause in that moment. I don't know. It looks pretty fucking real. I don't like you anyway. This is kind of pushing me over toward that other side.
David's like, she would have turned by now. Look at that wound. It's years old. And James is like, I don't know, man. I'm a superstitious fella.
Yeah, for sure. That's why I follow you. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, she takes her chance, grabs the cleaver and cleaves James, gives him the old choppy chop in the neck, right in the jugular, I think. Right. I'm no scientist, but he did.
Yeah, jugular.
It's a pouring a lot of blood. And then she takes off running, and David pulls out a gun and does his best Tony Time impersonation. And from 3 feet away, pops three shots off and doesn't hit a nary one of them. But he's, you know.
Doing me proud.
By the way, we've never talked about this. But wouldn't you say that Joel's wound was pretty terrible?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want it.
Wouldn't you say it's a terrible wound?
I would say that. Mm. You know, it's a terrible wound.
Dr. Brenner.
Hello, it's me, Dr. Brenner. I'm here. I'm taking time. I've been purposely injecting children with cordyceps. Let me tell you, the results are great. You saw Kansas City.
Sure.
Yeah.
I did.
This is Anthony. Anthony, that is what he would call him. He's been helping me out. I don't know how, but he's been helping me. Let me be honest with you. He doesn't do much around the lab. I just love his personality. That man can party.
You ever take him in the Nina?
Oh, all the time. All my best friends go into the Nina. I do prefer that he showers first. Because I love the guy, but there's a stank.
I get it.
Yeah. And there is quite a stank. But yes... Mr. Miller, Joel Miller's wounds. Mm-hmm. It's quite terrible.
Thank you. I just figured you'd have some 2 cents to shed on that. I know you're an expert in terrible wounds.
I have one right now.
You're still laying in the desert, I hear.
I'm Skyping in. Mm.
Tony did definitely not shoot you, though. He's innocent.
Good one.
So she runs off. Grabs a stick out of the fire. Where'd she get the
stick? I'm going to get my stick.
Where'd she get the Bernie stick?
Can we get that stick?
Was there a fireplace? There's
a fireplace in Tony's steakhouse.
That makes sense. That makes sense. So she grabs a Bernie stick.
When you're there, your family.
Somebody say Bernie stick.
God damn it. We're bringing all the Rogues Gallery of Streaming Things characters.
I just want a Dementor to pop out. We're not going to do it.
But we are going to do Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No, we're not.
So she throws the stick at a curtain, sets it ablaze, and then runs off. He comes in, and there's this funny moment where David looks at the fire, and he's like, I should probably focus on this issue. Nah. And I think it's really good symbolism for how he's willing to sacrifice everything for this fucking disgusting, you know,
need.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Depraved
thing. Hobby.
Desire. You know how creepy horny dudes be doing.
Mm-hmm. And so he gives up everything he's willing to and chases after Ellie. He's like, I got all the keys and all the doors are locked and the whole thing's burning down. So it's like, I think there's a problem for both of us at this moment. But he's not seeing it that way. And then they play a little quick game of hide and seek, and Ellie sneaks in the kitchen, grabs a knife, and sneaks up on David, stabs him in the side. Somewhere on the stomach area. I think that's the stomach she penetrated there. Mm-hmm. But he hits her to the ground. She goes for the cleaver, And he rolls her over and he's like, yeah, I like it when they fight, all that weird shit that he does.
Yeah, he's like, you don't know how good I am, what I could have given you. He's still trying to be like, hey, you could have had the great life being a preacher's wife.
We could have ruled all 13 of these hungry losers together. Yeah.
You could have joined the Hunger Club.
But no, she gets a hold of the cleaver, I think, and stabs him with it.
She just goes to town. Yeah.
Well, he rolls off and then she goes apeshit and stabs him probably 15 times. And this
least.
Incredible, like Bella Ramsey. I know a lot of people, you know, we often laud performances and applaud them when it's like really intense emotion, right? Like they always cut to these clips of like Jake Gyllenhaal screaming and Matthew McConaughey crying in Interstellar. And it's like, that's not always what powerful acting is. Sometimes it's really understated, subtle, and you're picking up minutia of emotion, right? Sometimes. And in this moment though, even though it's like this very dramatic, I mean, I'm speechless. Hats off to how Bella Ramsey performed this scene, because there's so much loneliness and anguish, and she doesn't want to be a murderer, right? Like, to my knowledge, she didn't kill the guy. You know, Riley was already infected, and she didn't kill the guy in wherever fucking city that was, because they changed it. Was it Kansas City where they?
Yeah, it's Kansas City.
In Kansas City. So like, she's killed her first two people ever, you know, and she's a kid. And so there's a lot going on right now, is what I'm trying to get at. And like, you sense that, like I was in shambles. Mm-hmm. I was over there blubbering like a baby. It's a lot. It's very cathartic after what she's gone through with, you know, what we've gone through with her, but intense. And then she wanders outside. Joel stumbles upon her, finds her, hugs her. She thinks it's another attacker and she freaks out. He says, you know, hey, it's me, baby girl, you know, and as somebody with a daughter, I was in shambles.
Well, that mirrors the shot of him and Sarah in the first episode, because they do the watch shot where he's hugging her like that. Like, it's okay, baby girl. Like, that's what that is.
Yeah. Like, where you can see the watch, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, and he says, like, it's okay, baby girl.
Yeah.
Like, that's
all the same line, too.
Brings her up. It's like the same shot.
Yeah. Nice. I didn't catch that. Awesome. Any other thoughts on this final part, the sequence, before we move into our fireflies?
Well, they walk away and we get that fade to black.
That money fade to black. Mm. anywho, Steve, let's do this. Our top three favorite moments, our favorite fireflies of the episode. And Steve, start us off with your number three.
My number three is when we see David and James returning with the deer, and it's kind of revealed like, oh, everyone's eating people. The chili is people. Just because, like, this is when you really kind of see the sinisterness of David kind of kick in. Because up to this point, he's been like this charismatic, like, hey, I'm just trying to help you out. I got to do what I got to do. You know, we don't know for sure that they're eating people yet. And then this is like, oh, not only are they eating people, he's lying to them about it. And he like backhands this girl. And it just really kind of sets the stage for how sinister it is. Because then he's like, he sits her down and he's like, how are your daddy-os? You know? And like all the people are eating the food and they're obviously starving. And I expected one of the people to be like, we've had one dead dad, yes. What about second dead dad? And then there was a person on the side who said, I don't think he knows about second dead dad.
What about 11sies?
What about 11 dead dads? but yeah, I really liked just how this scene really kind of flipped the script, and it just made like, oh, these people are just as much victims as anyone else, because this guy's lying to them and feeding them, unbeknownst to them, their loved ones, which is fucked up.
It is. It's frowned upon in most circles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not cool. Jimmy, you're number three.
My number three is when Ellie's in the cage or specifically after she breaks David's fingers and, mm-hmm. and as he's leaving, he's like, all right, well, we're going to chop you up into tiny little pieces. She says, yeah. She finally tells him her name and she's like, tell him Ellie is the girl that broke your fucking fingers. Mm-hmm. And that whole interaction when they come back to get her and how quickly she is to think like, I'll bite this fucking guy and tell him I'm infected and try to stall some time. And of course, when she takes out, is it James? Troy, did we say he was played by Troy Baker?
We haven't talked about it yet. Yeah.
No. I think we're saving that for Bullets and Pills.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Baby.
No, I just really liked that part. She was quick on her feet thinking, and it was really cool.
Yeah, that's a great sequence. My number three is when Joel is with Marco and Timothy, and he says, "I believe him." You know, it's just it never gets old, that murder in Joel. I love it every time.
Yeah. So is this the hardcore I don't fucking play Joel that you guys were wanting to get from the video game?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is much more in line with what he is in the game, where he's just fucking ice cold and just kills these.
Yeah. The reason, second thought, it's not even like hokey 80s action style though. Like, it works thematically in the game because he loves Ellie so much. He's not going to lose his daughter again. He's already lost his daughter before, right? Now he's got a new daughter and there's nothing that will stop him. Like, he made a mistake. And so in his mind, like, there's nothing he could have done, but in his mind, he feels guilty. Right. And so he will stop at nothing and he will do terrible things. And so I like that. I want to see that, you know, that's a cool part of his character. Steve, what's your number two?
My number two is, Jimmy was just referring to, and that was Ellie in the cage with David. I like their interplay.
Who the fuck is Jimmy? Yeah,
that's what I was going to say, but I didn't throw you off.
That's what Not Andy was talking about.
Good point, Not Andy. Yeah. No, I really like their interplay. The acting between the two of them was really, really on point because, you know, Ellie's her typical firebrand self. But then David's coming up with some real zingers.
Cunt.
Yeah, well... when he gets his fingers broken, yes, that's the ultimate zing. You're right. There's no, yeah. But I liked seeing.
I love how the subject matter of this particular episode is so uncomfortable that we've just been all over.
Cunt. I think. But yeah, I loved hearing his worldview because it is different from the game. It kind of makes a lot more sense than what the game's doing, and it just makes him even more evil, the fact that he doesn't even believe in this faith that he's proselytizing.
Yeah.
And just seeing his fingers, and the part where he's like ramming her against the cage to get the keys back from her, like, Jesus, that's so violent. And
yeah,
it's really scary.
And it really, I agree,
set the stakes. What about you?
That's my number two as well. The David monologue and the Ellie Brakey is what I said.
Ellie Brakey.
I just, again, not to really beat a dead horse here. Because there's a dead horse.
Jimmy thoughts.
Yeah.
But I really think the change that they did with making him this like manipulative fake religious fanatic was a stroke of genius. And I liked everything about all the nuance that they added to his character. Just to reiterate what we've already said. So that's why it's my number two, Jimmy.
I wish I could have been a fly on the wall when the prop guys were making that horse's ass.
Hey guys, you want to go on break real quick?
Hey,
come in here for a half hour.
Damn, a half hour.
I got to put in
3 minutes. You guys want to take a smoke break or what?
Who's on it?
My number two was your number three. The Joel torture scene is what I wrote down. They kind of alluded to the map trick when he met with that old couple in the cabin. Mm-hmm. But I was really happy to see him actually pull it off. He's like you said, he's super violent because he's in, you know, he loves Ellen, and he'll do anything and hurt anybody to get her. That's just a cold-blooded killer when he needs to be.
So, cold Joel.
Yeah. I was really happy to see that.
And now it's time for our number ones, right?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Back to you, Steve.
Back to me. My number one is...
Been podcasting for 7 hours.
It's been a while. My number one is the campfire scene with David and Ellie. I just really think these two have really great interplay. And this is the first time you really get to kind of sit with... David, I mean, they kind of introduced him in the beginning when he's quoting Revelations and all that, but this interaction with Ellie was the first time, like, I know what this is, I know what to compare it to, and just the depth that they gave him just in that one scene, I was like, oh yes, I love this. I love this campfire dialogue. I love really good back and forth, and I love that she's like making fun of him, kind of talk, like bringing up the Hunger Club, the teacher to preacher rhyming scheme, but she seems almost kind of like she's taken in by it as well, because he is so affable seeming and kind seeming, and he doesn't seem like a threat because he's a teacher/preacher, right? So she kind of almost lets her guard down a little bit, where she's like, hey, how does that work? How did you find God? And are you in a cult? And he's like, oh, you got me there. I'm a preacher. So kind of. And like,
you think part of her was thinking like in her head, like, what if Joel dies? I need somebody's help.
Sure.
So maybe this is going to be the guy.
She's working on her plan B. Yeah.
Well, I do think that there's, you know, a human element of, cause there's a moment where David, not to interrupt you, but there's a moment where David says, and what's going to happen to him or how's he doing? Something like that. Cause she's like, I already got somebody. And you can see her, just the doubt. And it's human to have doubt.
Yeah,
you
know, of course.
Kind of cloud her like, oh, fuck, I guess I'd be fucked, you know? Mm-hmm. Carry on.
No, that, I mean, that's basically wrapping up. I mean, it is just a really good scene of dialogue between two actors that are really crushing it.
Yeah.
In the roles. And those are sometimes my favorite type of scenes in shows like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a sucker for plays. Jimmy, your favorite moment of the episode?
Favorite moment, and really, in the beginning when I said I wasn't sure if I liked that it or horse. Disliked it. really, the last 20 minutes of the show is what saved it for me. That the David's death scene, the amount of emotion that Bella Ramsey was putting out, and just violence and that whole scene just floored me. I mean, my mouth was open, just eyes open, just glued to the TV. And then when she comes out and Joel grabs her and he does the he says the line, you know, I felt like she was safe. Like when I was watching it, when he grabbed her up, I was like, all right, it's like everything's gonna be fine now. So I really love that part.
Yeah, that's my favorite moment as well. Specifically when he finds her. I mean, I love the confrontation with David and how they, you know, that was note for note the way it needed to be. That last, yeah, like you said, last half of the episode, really.
Yeah.
But when Joel, you know, I was just destroyed by that. I spent all day with my daughter today because my wife had to go with her sisters and go wedding dress shopping and stuff. And fun. So, yeah, it was like, you know, 8 a.m. to about 2 p.m. or so. And then I had to watch some of the episodes that we covered today after that. But yeah, I had a great time with her. She's great, you know. And like I have an almost 10-year-old son, but it's like, it's kind of different. And maybe it's like, you know, ingrained misogyny in me or something, but like there's it's something, it's my daughter, you know, like she, like I got to protect her. Like, you know, the world's crazy and dangerous. And it's just a slight tinge of like the, and I think it is real. Like the world's a little bit scarier and harder for her and always will be. Right.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And so when he grabs her and he said, I'm here, baby girl. You know what I mean? I didn't even catch that was like a callback to his scene with Sarah. It was just like this father daughter moment. And you can see on Joel's face of like, I have no idea what you just went through.
Yeah.
But I can, like, it's killing me to even imagine that it sucked as bad as it looks because you're all bloody and shit. And you know what I mean? Like there's a fucking, that I don't know if you know that's on fire, but that is. And yeah, just all of that. And it's only in like, what is it? A 7-second moment or something. All of that ran through my head, just crushed me. So very effective. Done.
So fascinating. Cause like you guys were super high on the last 15 minutes and I'm not at all. Like I
agree with you that there's some clumsy decisions with like the surroundings and the staging of it. But yeah. I mean, honestly, that was the most faithful part of the episode. And it's like the confrontation directly between Ellie and David, they crushed, which is the linchpin of this whole episode, right?
Yeah, from her being in the cage all the way up until the end is.
Oh, I don't think they crushed the restaurant part at all. Like, I think the game is so much better in that
you scene. Thought they should have had her running around a little more?
Yeah, because there's no tension in like, because in the game, she's like hiding from him and he's like taunting her the whole time. And this one, he does taunt her, but he just literally just. Walks straight ahead and finds her immediately. Yeah.
Ellie.
Thought she was going to step on some plates.
And then just the way it's shot in the game, it's like it's in the middle of this like snowstorm at night and the place is, the fire is raging. So visually it's a lot more interesting. And instead she just like walks outside and
it's like daytime.
No one in town is like, oh, the place is on fire. Yeah. And, oh,
Joel maybe killed everybody.
Maybe those people shambling away very slowly. There's one small minor thing. So in the game, David's played by, where he's voiced by Nolan North, who's like a really incredible video game voice actor. He voice acted Nathan Drake in the Uncharted games. Yeah. He's like voice acting royalty, Nolan North is. And so this role was an incredibly odd choice for him specifically to play because he usually plays like
the main character.
Wisecracking good guy. And then they've cast him in this like really creepy role. And there's like the small performance when Ellie murders him in the game, like, because she does the same thing. She hits him with the cleaver, he falls over, and then she gets on top of him and goes to town on his head. Mm-hmm. There's like this small little thing where when she gets on top of him before she starts going to town, he gets one last little like, and it's like very effective when that screams cut short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that doesn't it just seems so like, oh, I'm rolling over and I'm dead. Like, it just, I just don't feel like it really hit the notes that the game does. And that was the thing that was like, oh, okay, well, that didn't land. And then, of course, the fade to black is kind of, all right, well, that ended.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I do think, and again, I brought my own personal shit into why that particular moment just like,
that's great,
bowled me over. Sure. And like, that's why I intentionally look for that, right? It's like, how can I relate to this as much as possible? But I will agree, this might be my least favorite episode of the season. Mm-hmm. At least I have never had so much negative shit bouncing around in my head yet, which is sad because it's one of the coolest parts of the game. It's one of the most effective and memorable. You know, I've been looking forward to this since they announced it. Well, since I played the game.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, that's going to be crazy. It's going to be like a fucking horror movie. And it should have been, and it wasn't, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm with you there. But real quick.
Doesn't she, like, when she gets free, she sees the bodies and there's like tables with them all fucking cut up and shit in the game.
I think she's the one that wanders through, and that's how she finds out.
Joel goes to the fridge and sees like 10 bodies. Uh-huh. Like, yeah, Joel's
the one God. That wanders through the fridge. I can hear his voice. Oh, yeah, God.
Like, oh, God, I got to get Ellie.
Dang.
I'm out of here. She's probably dead.
Well, I'm leaving.
That's two down.
I'll take one of these with me, though. I might get hungry on the road.
Take a little ham. I'm going to get
a sun next time. That brings us to our bullets and pills.
Pills, baby.
And let's rattle them off, folks. I mean, I'm sure you guys got a ton. I've only got a few. Jimmy.
I really don't have a whole bunch. It's just some call, like the deer scenario is a big part of the game. It's a really annoying part of the game.
Like actually hunting the deer.
Yeah, hunting the deer.
You have to hit it three times.
With a bow and arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's another thing. She hasn't gotten a bow yet. Which is upsetting.
I feel like Craig Mazin was like, shooting bows is really hard. There's no way she would learn in the time frame that we have realistically. And so we're just going to take that out.
Go ahead.
Just the very first shot of the resort. And that's a vista. That's like shot for shot a vista from the game when I think Ellie first escapes the guys and like, cause she actually leads them out of the town that Joel is in, and she kind of loses them for a second. And then she kind of wanders on to the resort. Cause that's not where they stay at in the game. They're not staying in the resort, but you do have a big fight with them there.
Mm-hmm.
And that vista, that wide shot that they open the episode with is like exactly what that vista of the resort looks like in the game.
I'm going to say Joel sneaking around and killing when he's getting with Tomothy and Marco.
Tomothy?
I'm so tired. I'm so tired.
Tony's brother.
Tomothy time. I haven't seen him in 80 years. It seems like a dumb, obvious thing to say, but I just felt like the most like stealthy, specifically in the scene you were talking about when you play as Ellie at the resort, you actually kill like eight of those guys. I think.
It's also really confusing in the game as Joel, when you're going around the wizard, the blizzard. And it's hard to find your way. So
yeah, you can't see.
There's that scene where you got to get past a wizard and answer. Joel has to answer three riddles.
These questions. Three. Tony, is that you? No.
Look, don't pay attention to me. It's Tomothy. I've got a wizarding hat on.
Okay, we've lost our minds. The blizzard was one of my pills.
Yeah.
They didn't really do it, but they made it like extra snowy when Joel came out. And I was like, oh, they're alluding to the blizzard that's supposed to go on in this scene. Mm-hmm. But then when Ellie comes out, it's perfectly clear out. So
I had the rabbit. They showed that one shot of the rabbit that she was going after, and that's opening to the whole David chapter is her killing a rabbit with the bow and arrow. So
yeah, it's one of the most memed things from the game.
Like, it's such an adorable rabbit.
Weren't you talking about, like, there's a, like, the way it's introduced, you're just like, here's the snow, and this cute little rabbit peeks its head out, sniffs around. Ooh, I'm a rabbit, the snow, and it comes out, kind of just, oh, what a nice day. Neck and arrow in the neck. And it's like just this violent death, and there's that scene where weren't you talking about it?
Yeah, there's a Twitch streamer that it was watching that, and it's hilarious. She's like, "Aw,
look at the bunny."
Steve.
Well, you mentioned, Jimmy, that Troy Baker plays James in this episode. Troy Baker is the voice actor that plays Joel in The Last of Us. So that is the guy that actually brought this character to life originally. And Troy Baker is also one of the, like, VIP voice actors in video games and all sorts of medium. Like, if you've played a video game, you've probably heard Troy Baker's voice. He's very prolific.
He's in a bunch of cartoons too. He did Christopher Waltz's voice in American Dad. He's done all kinds of crazy shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a real G.
That's pretty much all I got.
Oh, that's all you got?
I wrote down Pittsburgh, but I can't remember.
Well, Pittsburgh was where Kansas City took place.
Well, that's what I mean.
In the game.
I think, was that an allusion to the game? The fact that he said he was from Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think so.
So it is a bulletin pill. Mm-hmm. So I'm a genius.
You named it.
I had Todd's Steakhouse, same location where all that mayhem happens.
Oh, it took place at a Todd's in the game?
Yeah. Todd's Steakhouse. Is it Lakeside Resort or what was the name?
Silver Lake Resort.
Is it Silver Lake?
Mm-hmm.
And the only other one I had was just like how David dies, and that whole interaction was pulled from the game, but not a lot of little things that I picked up on.
Yeah, I mean, like the whole interaction when she first kind of pops up on him, they're like, drop your guns. That whole interplay is almost word for word for the interplay in the game. The scene in the cage where she's in the cage and he puts his hand on her hand, like that's almost word for word from the game. The way he dies, yeah. The cleaver killing his henchman, who did not have a name but is James in the game. All that's like taken directly from the game, which is interesting that they're that faithful in those very specific points. The interrogation, the kneecap thing, and the whole I believe him, that's so faithful to the game. But but not a lot of like very, like you said, not like small, like, oh, that's the thing. That's her backpack.
Right? Yeah.
You know, even though there was her backpack.
We did miss a bullet in the Left Behind episode that was really, really cool. When Captain Kwong is offering her the two pathways, right? To be an officer or to be a grunt, the keys or the cup. On the key ring is the Naughty Dog emblem as one of the keychains.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Oh, nice.
Somebody wrote in to tell us that. It's pretty neat. Huh.
Well, speaking of writing in, did you want to read that email for,
sure,
for the person who actually sounds like they love this episode and thought it was amazing? I really want to hear their opinion.
After we just shit on all of it. This just came in from Q, we'll call them. I don't have permission to read their name. Hello, all of the Streaming Things members.
Hello.
Melons.
The melons. Aw. Yay. Melons lives.
Like nearly every email you guys receive, I absolutely love the pod. I feel like I'm in the conversation with you and find myself strongly agreeing and strongly disagreeing with mostly Steve and he didn't say that. And each and every one.
And who the fuck is Jimmy?
And with each and every one of you, like I would a friend. Listening to you guys is honestly such a joy and makes my day many of the days I listen. Oh, I get it now.
Oh, it makes his day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm a smart man. I've been wanting to email for a while, truthfully. I've never had a great question or any cool remark, so I've not emailed ever until now. What a great
time. Honestly, this is a really great time.
Well, I am fresh off of finishing episode 8 of The Last of Us, and I'm just blown away. Personally, that might have been the best episode of television I've ever watched. The way I was enthralled by every moment, the way I felt myself sobbing at the end, just perfection. My question for you guys. Number one, do you think this was the best episode of the season? Number two, was it also one of the best episodes you've ever seen? Maybe I'm crazy and this episode was not as good as I think it was, but I was so overcome by how good it was and I felt I had to email. Again, absolutely adore listening to each and every one of you. Much love, Q. Oh, I'm glad I called him Q.
No, like Q, this is a subjective art form, right? And I honestly, like, there are things from this episode that I really, really enjoyed. And I think, like, if it really hit you in that way, you know, Chris, you brought up the whole point of your daughter into that one scene. And that really made the scene come to life more than you. So we're all bringing our own points of view and baggage into all these things that we interact with. And so I think that's great that you really, really like this episode. I mean, it wasn't my favorite episode. I don't know if it's my least favorite, but it's definitely like towards the bottom personally. But again, I don't think it's a bad episode. It's just not.
I'd be interested
to see.
It's
not up to the quality of the last few that I've seen.
How it lands with people that didn't play the game.
Yes, that's a big part of it.
I think there's still they might still wonder where all the townspeople are and stuff, but it might be a small thing. I mean, again, I do think emotionally those beats work at the end.
Yeah,
fantastically well. But yeah, I'd be interested to see with somebody with no expectations whatsoever as far as where the stories are going to go, because like they're being surprised by the character of David for the first time. Might be like, damn, that's fucking crazy, right? So yeah, but that's about it, I think, guys.
Did we do Outbreak for performance?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. Oh, I was thrown off because Q's last name was Anon, and I'm starting to get a little.
Oh no!
It's time for
this the latest Q drop?
It's time for our Outbreak performance, our favorite performance of the episode. Jimmy, why don't you kick us off here?
I'm gonna have to give it to Bella Ramsey. Like I said, that last scene was incredible. It's always nice to see somebody, you know, put that much effort into their craft, and she made me feel every moment of it. I don't think I've ever given it to her yet. I'm not sure, but I really think she just, you know, killed it. No pun intended. She stabbed it.
Steve.
Well, I feel like I have to give it to this person because it's like the one time this person has been on the show, but it's Scott Shepard, the gentleman who played David. I thought he was very convincing at being like this charming, silver tongued, for lack of a better word, cult leader. And you can see why people would, you know, fall into his flock, as he called it. And I really just love the interview. And if I didn't give it to him, it would definitely be to Bella, because she was absolutely stunning in this episode as well. His performance cleaved its way into my heart. Mm-hmm. No pun intended. I'm happy that I think he really did a justice to this character that is like cartoonishly evil, but in a fun way in the game. And he brought this character a lot of depth and still maintained the creepiness and just the abusiveness that character brings out.
Yeah, I was very torn. I wanted to give it to Scott Shepard as well. I think he did a great job as David. But I got to give it to Bella Ramsey myself. I think that she just set this episode on fire. And
no pun intended.
Thank you, Jimmy. But always, I mean, she continues to impress and amaze me each and every week. But that's, I think, all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Steve.
And this was a very tired edition of Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
buy a Tony Times shirt.
Yeah.
Get a Tony Times shirt.
I got mine. I literally did. I paid full price. Happy streaming.
It's the end of the episode in the month of February, the month of love. So it's time to show some love to our brand new patrons this month. In our Try Before You Deny section, we welcome David Malfara. The Marty B VIP producers, we welcome Tanmay Jane, Garrett Pratt, Michael Brook, Professor Beth RN, Veronica, Ode Bionkers, Ibsliz, Droog, Samuel T, Drew Watkins, Brett Logue, Joseph Bowen, Kaylee Sampson, Nick, and Stephanie Bennett. In the Chocolate Pudding Producers section, we welcome none other than Renzo 20, Claudia Garver, Kristen Glenn, Amanda Brown, John Cavett, Bruce Cullum, Maria Rojas, Candace Hensley, Logan Loftus, Hannah W., Kenneth Singletary, Matthew Unden, Carol Ann Quinn, Dan Wells, Max Grabinski, Kelly Nealon, Hannah T.S., Aurelio Reyes, Valerie Frazier, and Andrew Edelman. And finally, in the Friends Don't Lie producers tier, we welcome Baby Bella Twinkie Butt of Spotty Bottom, maybe the greatest patron name in the history of patron names. And that has been our brand new patrons that we want to show our love to. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.